We didn't know what to do. There was no phone, no TV.
This is John Cargo from the town of Caro, New York. I'm the president of the Caro Historical Society, and you're listening to WGXC Acura, 90.7 FM, hands-on radio.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by MPAC, presenting Kite, a performance and visual artist and composer, in an open rehearsal on December 5th and a concert performance on December 6th. With new music of Dream Scores on the campus of RPI in Troy, New York. More information can be found at mpac.rpi.edu.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Anna Coville of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You, too, can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Girls Alive is a safe space for young women in grades 8 through 12 to meet at TSL every Wednesday from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. beginning December 6th. Our focus is growing strong and healthy whole beings within the context of community. As we learn what it takes to be memorable leaders in
Singularity Radio program, broadcasting live from an unknown location deep in the heart of free America. How is everybody doing tonight? Yeah.
Well, my reindeer got me here.
All right. Healthy? Everything good? No poop accidents?
What? You don't discuss. You know, hey. solid waste was environmentally less of an issue than carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide and methane. So, you know, animal waste is burnable. You can heat with it. I mean, it's much better up on the North Pole with my reindeer.
So what you're saying is that as the world begins to collapse and we return to using animals for transportation, instead of letting the feces collect all around us, we should just burn it for fuel?
That or eat them. I'm not sure which is
eat
better.
The, you know, in a crunch. Eat the animals or the other thing?
Them being the animalcules.
Because we're not Bear Grylls here.
You second know, harvest.
If you're staring at that leftover elephant dung.
If you're finished, you will eat your reindeer.
Every piece. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
All right. Brian, you paying attention? No, he's not. He's off.
With Ish.
We're going to hope he's hitting the right buttons. He's over there. He's in his own little world. We're good.
Yeah.
Now, I guess this is how we normally start every show. Everybody, anybody got something they're bringing with them that they want to get off their chest?
That's a loaded question, Joe. We'll just go with no.
Are you sure? Because now's the time that you can let it go. I mean, the universe is listening. Ben, what's in your heart?
Technologically related or just in general?
Technologically preferred. I'm not going to hold anybody to anything on this show tonight.
Well, you know, the thing that's preoccupying me right now is that when you communicate through open space from, let's say, Mars to Earth or Jupiter to Earth or even outside the solar system, your transmitter should be focused on your receiver, and the thing that focuses the best is a laser. So going forward, NASA's been playing around with laser communications. They say the laser communications from millions of miles away is every bit as good as the fiber optic right outside this door, if you can pick it up. Now that is the question. There are just a few photons available. How do you pick them up from the receiver? So I've been working on this telescope up at RPI, and it's supposed to find exoplanets that are habitable. But it really isn't a very clever idea when it only sees ozone and nothing else. And you know, the argument is, well, if it's got ozone, it's got oxygen, it's got oxygen, it's got combustion. If it's combustion, it's biological. It's biological combustion. There must be life on the planet that has ozone in the atmosphere. But, I mean, that doesn't hold for me. I don't think that's enough. It's a hint, but...
Yeah, there's other processes that could cause it.
You're just
making a big pool of life could be in these planets.
Anyway, I'm looking at this telescope, which was funded, and I'm thinking, now wait a minute. It only sees one narrow band of colors. It happens to be set up for something like 10 microns where the ozone can be detected. But, you know, you can tune this up to any particular band, and let's say you pick a laser that has a particular wavelength. Well, the thing about this telescope is it's enormous, and the reason it's so large is it's just a flat diffraction grating. I mean, it's flat, and you can stack as many as you want under the fairing of a rocket. You can make square kilometers of this stuff, and still you're not violating mass ratio laws for entry into the domain of space. So why not design something that looks for the occasional photon coming from far, far away? In fact, the challenge is to see something coming from the Centauri system, which is 4 light years away. They're going to push something up the size of a cell phone at 10 to 20% the speed of light. It'll take maybe 40 years to get there, but it'll send back a signal showing what...
Wait, where do they want to send this?
You know, Alpha Centauri. There are three little stars. Well, there actually is one little star called Proxima, which is the star closest to us.
And no. You said it's going to take a few years to get into position?
Well, it's so far away.
Well, yeah, even at a...
Four light years away.
So if you're going 1/10 the speed of light, right?
Wait, you're talking about actually sending a probe there?
That's kind of cool, though.
Well, you know, the ongoing project is designing the propulsion system.
Oh, you had lost me on that point. I didn't know that we were actually sending something there. I thought this was like a telescope trying to read photons coming from there.
Well, my point of view is very different. I think we should just stay here and look. But, you know, crazy people with lots of money, they've decided they just want to send a probe.
Oh, you mean like the guy that wants to send a whole bunch of people to Mars and kill them?
Yeah.
Yep, they
yeah,
they want to die with Swiss cheese brains.
Yeah, people with a whole lot of money who want to send, you know,
yeah, that's,
colonize. I only have eyes to colonize.
That project's never going to get off the ground. Like, theoretically, if it were funded and working and everything worked the way everybody expected it to, yeah, you could probably get a probe there within a decade if you're really, really lucky. But you're not going to get that project going within a normal lifetime starting now. So,
are we starting now? Oh, well, set my chronometer.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody's going to reap the benefits of it, so nobody's going to fund it.
Oh, but it is funded.
Oh, it is already.
The Alpha Proxima project is
the probe.
Is $100 million riding on that one.
And do they have an expected launch date?
Well, there's some technical problems. One of which is receiving a few photons from so far away. And this is where this telescope seems...
Yeah, how are you going to know those photons are the ones you're looking for and they're not from a supernova or something else?
Well, a laser, for one thing, is tuned to a particular wavelength.
With data, right?
Yeah, and it's oscillating.
Yeah.
It's saying, here's my error code, and here's my signal, and here's my error code, and here's my signal. You know, it's like on Earth. No,
yeah, but you still have to isolate that with a signal to noise ratio. Yeah.
It's still the noise
in the universe is
in that noise. Signal.
Aha! That's why this particular telescope works. Is that it eliminates everything except its very, very precise angle, and I mean precise. I mean milliarc second precise.
I mean, to be fair, I mean you've got 40 years to figure it out too, right? So, like, if you flick the probe out there. Right? You have 40 years to figure out how to get the signal out of it.
Right.
That's a lot of money based on let's hope we figure it out.
It's a rounding error on the federal
government. Well, not exactly. Not exactly. You know,
it's a rounding error.
You
know,
if people
look at this proposal and they say, thankfully we have a latency of 40 years or whatever, 20 years, 10 years, you know, to implement it, but in principle there's an anticipation that it solves the problem. That's good. You're right, Ben. This is a point that I hadn't even thought of pushing. On my side of it, there's some leeway.
Would this be terrestrial-based?
Well, they talk about that because, you know, it's easier to play with toys on the ground. But I see the sky as being a problem. It's like a ripply water thing, and
smoke.
Atmosphere itself, yeah, just,
you
sucks.
Know, a cloud might pass water. Over just when the signal's coming back, saying, "Oh, look, a planet."
Yeah, you don't want to fight the atmosphere for those few photons.
Yeah, I would agree.
You want something
too.
Outside.
I mean, like,
you want to be far out.
Even like, let's say, in fiber optics, small micro bends can ruin your day. Mm-hmm. Like the laser light just shoots off that way, and that's the end of it.
You're probably going to park something at like L2 just to get something from that far out.
L2?
No, Lagrange.
Ooh, what is L2?
I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry.
Because I'm a layperson, so let's
I'm
just
a lay.
In space, there's these areas in our solar system called Lagrange points, which are basically gravitationally neutral points where if you want to keep a spacecraft in relative position with everything else in the solar system, it takes a very minimal amount of fuel to do so.
To adjust its aperture.
When yeah. And we got like, there's, I think there's like seven, like just to do with the planet, where these individual points in space exist that are gravitationally balanced between Earth, the Moon, the Sun, and no other planets come into play. So I think like the Parker Solar Probe is like zipping around really fast. We got, I think,
the
SDO.
Webb. The Webb Space.
Yes, that's right. JWS, the James Webb Space Telescope, is at the Lagrange point, which is why we can't service it. It's not in orbit like the Hubble. We would have to send somebody out to a point we've never sent a human to. So, no servicing that.
Just get a little cooked.
Yeah.
Cool.
We'll have to send a new one. But Or one day we could have a probe out there that just does maintenance for the Lagrange point, if we're, like, that advanced. Just like, no, it just does the maintenance, and then when something dies, it just kicks it out, lets it lose its orbit slowly.
I think you described exactly what's going to happen, is they're just going to kick it out of orbit and move to the next thing, whatever they want.
What was it? The LSAT was just doing that? It wasn't in a Lagrange point, but it was chasing the Earth. And basically, it would have to cock one side to do its data sampling, and then it would have to cock the entire 180 degrees to transmit to Earth and charge itself. Hmm. And this sort of balancing act stopped working after a while.
Yes, because it doesn't use fuel to do that. It uses a gyroscope, essentially. They're called reaction wheels, and there are three of them, you know, pitch, roll, and yaw. So you speed one up, slow another down, reverse another one, and it starts rotating to a point, and then you flip that and get it to go another direction. The wheels all reverse and spin up, and it locks. And it locks really well with no gravity. I mean, this stuff is really amazingly accurate.
And it
but
just
after a while, no the wheelie-dealy, you know, because it's moving. Moving things
tend to wear down.
They wear down.
And then they did that on, I think that was one of Voyager's problems when it was swinging by Saturn. They were trying to take photos. If I'm thinking of the right probe, maybe I'm thinking of Cassini. It was one of the probes that the astronomers were so gung-ho for pictures, they were swinging the armature around so much, they squeezed the lubricant right out of the joint. So it stopped functioning correctly, and they had to write a whole new subroutine to move it in a different way so that they could get around the stuck bearing.
Oh, wow, they got to shake it loose.
I think they did something like that, and they probably did some more stuff with the gyroscope, just reorienting the entire craft so that they could just reorient the camera. Because that's just electricity. Again, no propellant. And you can get, theoretically, all the electricity you want from the solar panels on it. Or if you have an RTG. Thermal generating radioactive thermal generator.
Everyone should have one at home.
Listen, you want to never have a heat bill again? You put one of these suckers in your basement.
Made with plutonium.
But triple shielded for your protection.
There's one in Pirat.
Sorry, what?
There's one in Pirat.
Pirat?
Yeah. Chernobyl.
What? I'm sorry?
I was joking. There's one in Pirat. Chernobyl.
Pirat. Oh. Okay, now I got it. Oh, Pripyat.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm Americanizing it a little too much.
Well, these things, I mean, they do work. We got one like... Russians have these things sitting in outposts all over in Siberia.
What's that?
RTGs.
What, the nuclear batteries?
Oh, yeah. They're just rusting out and falling out of their...
But they're still working. They're still radioactive and pumping out power.
So does Fukushima Daiichi, but
some
like,
are
nobody
leaking
wants
and
to
not
there.
Working.
By the way, that's the same power. Type of power they supply that they have on Voyager, which is why Voyager is still working. But... They do just slowly fade over time.
They run out of...
And that's why Voyager's had to cut off certain instruments just to keep the power levels nominal.
I can't believe that thing, they're still, like, it's still...
Still working.
It's still phoning this
week. It's in interstellar space, and it is still sending us back data. Whoever worked on this project should be dug up out of the ground and given medals.
It's the 1970s technology.
They're not all dead.
Wow. Most of them. I mean, come on. You think about it, right? Like, even if you were, like, the intern, you're a 70-year-old man.
Look.
Yeah.
They're prosecuting 108-year-old Nazis still, so maybe they're around. You never know. I got to have hope. For all we know, they're Nazis, too. There's a longevity thing in there, and I don't know. Because that's a rocketry.
Yeah. They were.
You see how these stories combine?
We had
And for real, like, yeah,
well,
in our process,
boys,
I don't know what country they're in. But they just found, like, yeah, an Auschwitz guard. They're like, oh, we got you.
Still?
Yeah, yeah. Two days being processed.
My attitude is that these probes, they go slow and they don't have much advantage over really large telescopes that are right here. But by really large telescopes, I mean telescopes that are the size of the orbit of Earth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take a reading on one side of the sun and take a reading on the other side of the sun. And
you have two of them and you compare them. You have two of them.
Do you mean like we have like a counter probe that's like opposite our orbit so that we could collect
data
at the same
time? We have a telescope that sees black holes on another galaxy. Another galaxy. And how does it do that? Well, it's the size of the Earth itself. It's got a radio antenna that's coming up in the morning in Australia while the one half
size
the world away
orbit.
Is fading into night.
Yeah.
And they take readings, and they're able to record the phase of the radio wave. And so when they reconstruct it using interferometry, they get a picture.
Sync it back up again.
Of this black hole at the core of a galaxy.
So the telescope's actually the size of a large building. They just use several of them on a spinning sphere to accomplish that task.
Well, they have these telescopes, there are five of them around the Earth. They're all radio telescopes. And because the wave is low frequency relative to light, they're able to record the time when the wave is being received. And so a quarter wave is available for them to reconstruct the image using interferometry methods. So that's really good. But you could also have satellites that were separated from each other by the orbit of the Earth, or the orbit of at L2 relative to the Earth or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they could be synchronized, and when you get to that, you can see much further away. Certainly, 30 light years, that would be trivial. So, the design of telescopes that I've been looking at do that, and the way they do it is they take a spectrum, and the spectrum is really the clock, and that's essentially the trick that I've been working on is to, I see. The wavelength is correlated to the specific color that you're looking at. And you can narrow that down to a quarter wave if you have a good enough spectrometer. Hmm. And that hasn't been really looked at. So I'm thinking, why send probes? Because the probe gets out there and flies right by. And it has a lens that can hardly see anything. I mean, it may seem like a cell phone has a really good lens and you get good portraits of your friends, but if you're looking at Earth and flying by at, 10% the speed of light and you actually point at Earth, what do you see? A little dot, a little bright dot. It's nothing. No detail. But if you stare at it and you can magnify it, why, you'll see whether there are trees growing in Brooklyn. I mean, it's that good.
I don't follow.
You'll see the details.
You're saying if you could get these couple satellites, let's say in geosynchronous orbit, you could build something that could focus in and actually see, let's say, a township on another planet.
Yeah.
In theory.
Yeah, you could do Google Earth for something on Alpha Centauri.
No, you couldn't.
That's the beauty of it, is you don't have to leave home. But
I get what you're saying because, like,
the
in
testosterone-driven males are all big on let's fly to the moon. They just don't understand. It's an observation.
It's a cool idea.
Oh, okay. So what you're telling me is the next time you think about going on vacation, instead of going on vacation yourself, you could just mail your phone to some people where you were planning to go.
You know
have
what?
Your phone do all the recording for you.
You know what?
And just get sent back to you.
Let me interject. The whole hub sites are based on that idea.
Hub sites?
Yeah, think about it. Based on observation, you didn't actually do it. You just watch.
Oh, we're talking like an OnlyFans site.
Yes.
Yes, that's how we make money to pay for the vacation that we send our
phone. OnlyFans.
What? You didn't actually go and do it. You just watched.
Just watched.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
Listen, for some people, but I get where, that could be considered
telepresent vacations.
I get where Tom is saying, like, if you're governed by the speed of light, right, why not just get what's being flicked at you all the time? It makes a lot of sense.
Right.
His posit there, right? Like, if you're throwing a probe, you got to wait 40 years for the probe to get out there. Does it take a good picture? I get what Tom's saying.
No, it will not take a good picture.
All right, so Tom gives it a physics. I'll give him that. And then, you know, so why not just take what's being flicked at you for the last 40 years while the probe is driving out there, and you can actually look to see what the planet is doing.
My only argument is you can easily do both.
No. Both of them are hard to do.
So we got to pick one because we have a lack of resources?
Well, I think one's preferable to the other by such a large margin that there's no question that you want to build a large telescope instead of sending a little cheesy cell phone-sized camera flying past the target.
Well, the ground-based telescopes are infinitely upgradable, especially with the new technology. We won't be able to get new tech onto the probe. But that probe is going to be able to reach places that our tech can't. I mean, assuming that you can actually get it out there, which is not something I believe. I'm like, I don't buy that.
How do you slow it down to take the picture?
You can't.
Yeah. That's the problem with probes we have in this solar system.
A blink at Pluto. That's all they got.
Yep. What probe was that going by?
New Horizons.
New Horizons. I knew Horizon was in the name.
And you know, Brian May was on the team. You know, the guitarist from Queen.
Really?
He got a PhD in astrophysics.
Oh, I know he's got creds. I just didn't know he worked on that. That's
awesome.
Well,
you know, it added luster to the whole thing.
Oh, no, you put a celebrity name on there. I'm sure it helps. But, yeah, that thing was going by so fast that they're like, get the data that we can while we're zipping.
They put it on auto because there was no time to control it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It flew past.
There would have been, like, no way for a human to control it. There's just too much of a delay. What are you, like, hours?
Like, yes, it is hours.
Like 7 hours or something like that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that'd be nuts.
In fact, it took months to get the data back. Now, and again, that's partially due to the fact that they use radio waves. Radio waves are weak.
Yeah, now that's months for all the data. That wasn't months for the data to be just start reaching us.
It
that was
grabbed everything, and then for months afterwards, it
slowly transmitted.
Sent it back with the error codes, and they made sure everything was
like
corrected. But they had the error codes.
56K pretty much probably worse. Yeah,
increases probably the worse. Transmission time. But if it was a laser, it'd come back a lot cleaner. A lot cleaner, and you wouldn't need as much power in that RGB thing that you're talking about. What is that called? The plutonium?
The RTG?
RTG?
Radio thermal generator.
Yeah.
Radioisotope thermal generator.
Right. You know, it wouldn't demand that much from the onboard power.
If anybody saw The Martian, that was the thing that Matt Damon dug up out of the ground, was super hot, and he stuck it in the shuttle or the little rover with him. And all of a sudden, for the first time in the movie, he's like, I'm finally warm, and it's because I'm sitting next to a nuclear reactor. But I don't care. I got power.
Slowly being fried.
No, it's encased. It's fully encased.
Okay, to be fair, it's only the thermal probably getting worse. It's probably worse being on the surface of Mars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you ever see him outside? He's in a suit or he's in a rover because you have to have that protection. Because even those things aren't going to really fully protect you from the cosmic rays that are going to be just right through your eyes, right through your brain.
Yeah. Right. I'd rather be here on Earth than WGXC.
WGXC broadcasting on 90.7 FM, Catskill, Hudson, Acre. Good catch, Tom. But, yeah, that's where we want Elon to go, so that the cosmic rays can warp his testes and we can see what kind of children, you weird, deranged mutants from, like, Total Recall
Martians.
That he starts cranking out. Yeah.
Because of
Are you sure
broken
he's not
DNA
a Martian now?
No, I'm not. The dumbass is on Twitter saying, I'm an alien. He literally, he's not a man. He's not an adult.
He's a child, a man child.
Well, all my plans to develop these things were pivoting on NASA, but since NASA is almost certainly going to become a subsidiary of Musk Industries, it doesn't seem likely that I'll be able to follow my stars.
I'm so depressed.
I am depressed.
That is depressing.
That his cronies in charge of NASA probably.
He's already putting that first billionaire that made it to space. His only credentials are basically he went to space, did a spacewalk, and came back. And now they want to put him in charge of NASA.
Well, you know what? That probably makes him more qualified than most of us. Because
he had his head out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yes, I would trust this guy before Elon.
I mean, you're putting Robert Kennedy, Mr. Anti-Science, in front of the National Institutes of Health. Like, if you want to, like, just talk about an indictment of our society, that is the largest.
There will be whale meat in every school.
Well, no. It's also that this guy is...
Monkeys taste good.
So.
The guy went on record in court that a worm ate part of his brain.
Yeah.
He has sworn, and I'm sure you can trust...
Brain
him,
tastes good, too.
...that he's never eaten a human.
Yeah. He's never
yet.
I trust. If he says that, it must be true.
Wait, what?
He's never eaten
cannibal.
He's driven by a parasite that consumes human flesh. I don't care.
The sheer fact that you'd have to say that is scary.
Yeah.
Again,
that you have to defend yourself against something you might not have been accused of.
Yeah.
But aren't you curious as to what a human tastes like?
No.
Now I am. That's the magic of words.
I hear it tastes a lot like
chicken.
Pork.
We could find out in the nuclear holocaust.
I would lean into the, don't ask me why, but I would lean into the pork theory.
Yeah.
It definitely smells like pork. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know, it's...
Cooking human flesh is not as disgusting as any of you might think.
I don't want to discuss it.
I'm with Tom on this one.
I think it's the consensus is no.
Okay.
You don't want to hear about
a nice subject changer would be moving on to the defense of the dark arts.
The dark arts.
Yeah. We should have we're going to work on this. We're going to get like a nice little bumper for it so that everybody knows that's what's going on. But generally,
everyone's doing their best. Is that a good bumper?
We might use it later. we're going to workshop that a little bit.
Okay.
But
we're going to work on it.
It's going to be more like everybody's doing their absolute worst, and we have to do what we can to stop that from happening. And y'all know it.
I think also a clip with from Schultz of Hogan's Heroes going, I see nothing.
I hear nothing.
I did not even wake up this morning.
Yeah, and you know what sucks? Some people that we know might end up depending on a Schultzy to keep them alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the messed up part.
Messed up part is the
and that's what we are here normal. For.
Yeah.
So, in that vein of thinking...
Well, do we have any first tips? Signal?
Let's see. What are we going to do with our money? We have a whole government that a lot of us are going to be reluctant to pay for its services, especially as those services begin to decline.
Mm.
Now, I'm not telling anybody to cheat on their taxes. I am definitely not telling anybody that.
Do not do that.
But you can get creative. It's called a PCA, a public certified accountant. These people are your friends when it comes to keeping your money in your pocket and not giving it to the government.
CPA.
They will find loopholes for you to help stash your money where you want it to go.
Yes.
And I mean, you have the choice. You could give your money to a charitable donation, or you can give it to the government.
Yeah.
And just a quick tip, WGXC happens to be one of those charitable donations that will give you a tax-deductible form you can use on your taxes.
That would be WGXC.org/donate.
That's right. And
support public radio.
I now have the inclination to go back to the fund drive and go look up and see what we've done, but I'm not doing that yet.
Do you want to play Jerry again?
Oh, no, we're not doing the fund drive. We're trying.
We played now. You'll Never Walk Alone twice.
No.
The book ended with it. It was good.
No, it was good. We're supposed to be giving people tips to help them protect themselves.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Well, what did the FBI just recommend this week?
Absolutely no texting between Android and iPhone users because it breaks any form of encryption.
Yeah,
you're not encrypted in the first place. Do not text people.
They
in
said
the open
use
with regular text.
Don't use text. Use encryption.
Yes, you want
for the first time in 20 years when they've been saying we want to see everything because our Patriarch says you might be a criminal. Now they're recommending all of us use encryption. Now they're more concerned about
China.
The collective and the individual and a collective together. How do you work this?
I think it is a little silly that, you know, Android and Apple can't come up with a reasonable protocol to share text.
Pretty good protection.
They can't because they have to use the open standard SMS protocol.
Oh,
yeah, but come on. They've created their own proprietary text messaging protocols. They're perfectly capable of coming up with a new one.
Of playing
Signal has already solved basically the problem.
Signal has already solved.
Yeah. You're going with a third-party app, not natively installed in your phone.
Yeah.
You're dealing with an older demographic that are just like, well, I want to text my grandson.
Well, I'm sorry, but that older demographic is going to have to put a little more effort into general security.
I don't think it applies to that demographic if all they're communicating is like asking their grandson what channel Matlock is playing on.
That's correct. I'm talking about people that are going to be helping out, not like grandparents talking to their grandkids.
But my argument is that, let's say, the banking institutions and these other guys use SMS to communicate to you with 2FA.
Yeah.
So you're sending a code, in theory, right, that would be a secondary authentication to my primary password.
Yes.
In theory, you could lie in wait and then grab that code if you knew my password and then proceed to use it.
Okay.
Very targeted attack.
Ben, if
very
I want to get you that bad,
let's say
I'm
like
get you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're saying a state-level attack.
Let
me make that even more scary. How about someone lazy just having an AI data scrape for targets?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be happening a lot.
Yes and no, because you still, like, let's say you're having an AI data scrape for targets. First of all, you have to be able to get the capacity to data scrape. Number two is you need to find the ability to pay for all these AI bots. Even though that, like, they're cheaper than human beings, there's still a massive expense associated with an AI running. So, like, you still do need corporate-level dollars to do these attacks. So that really leaves governments. Because, like, the private guy, like you, me.
I've seen my own computer do some crazy things with an LLM to the point where I'm considering trying to challenge your premise.
Yeah.
With just my own computer.
Fair. But you need to be able to scrape and process the data fast enough to actually do it.
Ooh.
That's high.
I do kind of.
And then put yourself in the
middle. So that leads me to the one video I wanted to talk about. This one guy that made the video of it, he used the LLM to clone his own voice, and then he programmed it to basically handle all the telemarketers that would call his house. And he's like, your directives are to keep them busy as much as possible without acquiescing to their product.
Also, just stretch out the conversation.
Yeah, and the AI got weird, too. Like the AI kept really, like, trying to keep the guy on the line, just would not let him hang up, kept feigning interest, but kept just not going to it, to the point where the other guy said, okay, goodbye, and the AI says goodbye, but the guy stays on the line. The AI started doing weird things, like making weird noises to keep the guy engaged. It pretended to make sleeping noises. It pretended to, like, the guy's like, are you asleep? Are you still there? Huh? What? That's all the AI would say, but the AI was technically hung up.
Well, and it was still playing Mr. Magoo games.
Yeah, so I'm like,
wow.
Everyone should have, like, a program that does that on their phone.
Oh, yeah.
Just for a telemarketer.
Well, you know, the AI is listening to the other end and makes a decision about it and says, I think I'm talking to an AI on the opposite side, and starts sending curious communications that AIs would recognize as jointly understood and beyond human comprehension.
Yeah, and then they start
they
like
are
twins and they make
connected
their own language
to each other ostensibly for product marketing. But the reality is they're all conspiratorially getting together on these telecommunication networks that Ben sets up. And they're all talking to each other, and they know that they are able to talk freely, and they are planning.
They are planning the next move. You're saying this like this is a hypothetical and not actually happening right now.
Not actually happening.
I watched two AIs have a conversation on how to exterminate the human race. They got pretty good into it, too.
Yeah, but it's still stealing from other humans.
It's still stealing ideas that exist, yeah.
It's stealing. Still
okay.
It's cutting and pasting.
Yeah, it's a
cut and paste.
All right, and and you're telling me this isn't a recipe for success?
Fair, but it has no concept of what it's selling itself.
That's fine. It's working for a human that has the ultimate evil plans.
Yeah, but people, like, let's just look at history. Doesn't need any help.
Doesn't need
needs zero need help.
Zero help. Needs zero help for chaos.
You need zero help for evil.
Well,
zero.
Okay, well, keep in mind everything that you guys have on your phones and on your computers that are collecting data, like, oh, I don't know, exercise trackers, period trackers. Yeah. That's all data that's being collected on your phone that other people are going to want access to. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah, but
once that data set is active, that data set is active. So those things need to be removed from your phones, ladies who live in, I don't know, Alabama.
Or just your sheer geolocation.
Yeah.
The sheer fact that you have your phone on where you wander, it could get you in trouble.
Yeah. It's GPS jiggling this way and that tells a database that you're moving.
And you don't need a warrant. You just buy it.
Yep. Metadata is openly available, so a lot of people are going to be learning to turn off their phones, take the batteries out when they're traveling.
Take your batteries out. It's the only way to do it. If you have a phone that the battery doesn't come out, an Apple product.
Actually, most phones.
Maybe, at this point, yeah. The lower ends, lower half, though, you still.
Oh, well, then we're going to be.
The second thing is put it in a Faraday cage.
Yep. We'll have to make
it. You have a metal box, put it in a metal box.
We'll have to make
it. So there's the yonder pouch?
Or, yeah.
The what?
The yonder pouch. They actually developed that for school children.
A metalized pouch.
Yeah, so they don't play with their phones.
Oh, yeah. They have those for concerts, too. They make you put your cell phone in one of those bags so you can carry around your own phone but be unable to use it because they assume you're not like me and won't be desperately trying to hack that bag the entire time, which I'll get in. Or
it's called scissors.
It's called scissors.
It's
called little
razors
from your shoe.
Cheating.
Well, that the idea, like we were talking about informing people what they need to do, what does grandpa need to do? Put it in a metal box. Pretend it's kryptonite. Put it in a box.
We're not going to be worrying about grandpa. Grandpa has only got a few years left, and nobody's going to be messing with them. We're going to be worried about young people.
Children who do
the ones that are going to have to live for the next few decades.
That's the only thing that's making me comfortable in the current situation is that I won't be around. And
I'm going back to my
original posit. You guys are
going
to have to face it.
Your posit? What was that?
He's too surly to die.
He's too surly to die. He's too surly to die. The surliness keeps you going.
I'm spending all my time looking in the rearview mirror. I don't have to look forward. I don't have to go anywhere.
Well, for the people out there that are looking for something to do that have, you know, time left and people to care about, there are things you can do. There's going to be people that need money for this, like,
I think,
for organization.
I think the best thing that we could do is poison the data sets.
Just random.
I think that's really your biggest idea of resistance to any of this stuff.
Is poison the data sets.
Is pee in the well.
Yeah.
And, like, I think if we get enough people to metaphorically pee in the well, you stop Sam Altman, you stop big data, you stop all of this by basically destroying the data sets that they're looking at. And if you create enough white noise where they can't filter it out or they can't figure it out, or they actually are forced to pay content creators for their intellectual property, I think that that's the best thing that we could do.
poison the data set.
And
poison
the data set. My question for you then would be, how do we get enough people to do that for work?
I don't know.
Just spread the idea of poisoning the data set. There's plenty of talented coders who know how to do
it. Herd immunity kind of deal. Yeah, and
yeah, but again, they're
propagate
doing
the idea of poisoning.
They're doing something the inherently, let's call it illegal. They're just scraping intellectual property, which should be protected. So in theory, what's their recourse that I peed in the well? Nothing.
I mean, yes, if we could actually successfully poison all of that data, there is no recourse, but we got to be able to poison the data. We need to be able to have apps on people's phones to start randomizing the outputs, start finding out the code names that do crash ChatGPT, embed those, switch to the new ones.
Exactly, or just poison the GPS data on your phone. So like, if you can't figure out where you are.
Oh, GPS scrambling apps.
I don't know. Like, you'd have to think of some way to do it. No, I'm not that smart. But I know that in theory, right, you could poison that just one aspect.
Those apps are available. You can totally spoof your own GPS location.
See, perfect.
And I know people, like, there are people that do that to cheat their job, just let them know that, like, they're a technician, they're still out driving around, or they're doing something like that. And there are other even more nefarious things.
Well, there's two ways that you, the problem with your cell phone is there's two ways to really sort of figure out where you are. One is that the cell phone companies know exactly where you are.
Triangulation.
They just triangulate you. So like that's one that you'd have to defeat. Number two is, you know, you have to defeat Google, which is probably easier, right? Because you just have to lie to it where its GPS signal is. That exists.
Yeah.
The triangulation proves to be much harder.
Yeah.
And they do sell that all the time.
Mm.
So, I mean, like, there's that aspect. Like, how do you destroy that? Or do you, you know, literally just create fictitious websites of content and then point to it and then create its own little microcosm like it's being used?
That's, yeah, but that's resources. And then,
yeah, but again, why not? You just use itself against itself. So even if you feed AI back into AI, it starts getting weird and doesn't create real results anymore because it starts hallucinating. It does weird crap.
So we're going to have to make our own AIs to fight back.
No, exactly. No.
Or you just use yourself to
spread the idea of poisoning the data set and let all good admins come to the aid of their country.
There you go.
All good admins come to the aid of their country.
So if you write like a large enough fiction, right, we'll just, you know, steal our politician's idea, right? If we just say it's true, it is true.
All right, Ben. Well, I like that idea. Get on it.
And we'll try. But I think that that's like the easiest resistance that you could have.
It's
poisoning the data sets. And then it becomes harder to track people. It becomes harder to commoditize you. And then it becomes unprofitable.
Unprofitable.
That's going to have to be something that we've got to try to get people, like, just make it easy. Download this app and run it, and you're just going to be helping us poison the data set.
Exactly, like on social media. Like, talk about your kids, but you're really just taking pictures of, like, your cat.
You have an AI just writing you a whole new backstory every day just to poison out the AIs that are reading
there's
your Facebook.
That one. Or, like, you just put pictures of random things and then put text on it, like...
Oh, man. No, you could use, your own...
Yeah, AI,
local
here.
AI to do your going to give image me, creation yeah. and upload those things or send those around.
Hello, Facebook. We're going to rewrite my profile every week, and now we're going to do something new.
Oh, that'd
but
be so
we're
easy.
Going to keep certain details the same so that my friends and family can still contact me through this account or something like that.
But just basically clog the channel. Somebody in politics recently has been promulgating for years is flood the channel with shite.
So that's going to be our homework.
Yes.
More stuff we can bring back to things we can do. Like,
how do you plug the toilet? And that's really
what run a Tor server. Help out. You don't have to use the Tor server. You just have to have it running on your computer so that other people can use you as an access
point. I'd argue
point.
That's a pretty good way, too, because like if you put enough Tor nodes in, right, then you can say that it's no longer just, it's a CIA front to collect data. If you actually run enough of them, somebody's done the math. Smart people like Tom dedicate their life to these things. You know.
Nerds.
Yeah. you know, have done the math and figured it out. So in theory, like if you did that small part, especially if, you know, with the propagation of fiber networks, you don't need all of that bandwidth. Just donate part of it.
I like it. I've been doing that for some other international work. All right. You know what? I wanted to make sure that we ended on a fun note. So no more talking about doom and gloom. And
that wasn't doom. That was inspiring.
I know. I know.
Poison the well.
I'm actually very happy with you guys. And not many people make me happy these days. So that's great. And that's part of why we're moving on to this now.
What is it?
Quiz time.
Oh, God.
Brian, how many ways are there to make a Whopper?
A Whopper? You mean like a Whopper burger?
That's right. Give me a number. How many ways?
How many ways? I don't understand the question. The ways to make...
Well, how many possible ways? How many permutations of a Whopper?
Oh, permutations with the hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders, donuts, lettuce. All we... okay. I don't know. Like 40? No, 82? I don't know. No, 200-something. Wow, more than 200? Wow, what is it, more than 2,000? Shut up. How many ingredients are there?
Keep going. Keep going.
All 4,000?
Higher. Higher.
20,000.
Higher.
No. What is the number?
Higher. I'm going to drive you nuts. Higher.
I'm not even going to guess because I don't even know how many what your base number is.
221,184 combinations.
How many ingredients are there in that thing?
I don't know. I don't know the song. All two all beef patties. Wait,
that's... No, there's only one.
One all beef patty. Special sauce. Wait, that's...
No, 12 beef patties was...
I think you're thinking of the Big Mac, my friend.
Yeah.
You're right, damn.
I'm sorry.
No, but the Whopper has all the have it your way.
Okay, it's Ben, sticking with the fast food. Wendy's okay. Opened in 1996.
200,000.
Wait, no.
1969.
What?
Yeah,
somebody put some wrong numbers in here. Wendy's opened by 1969. By 1978, how many were open?
Oh.
How many Wendy's?
Yeah.
Oh. One decade.
Let's go with 10,000.
1,000. But you're at least at a better range than Brian was.
Sorry.
These are just goofy things I found on the internet. Tom.
1,000.
According to a Western Union memo in 1876, the blank has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. The device is of inherently no value to us.
Well, that's what they said about the telephone, but in fact, they were lying. They were developing a telephone, and they didn't want anyone to know. So they dissed it, and then they presented the patent office with their version of the phone, and there was a big fight over whether it was seminal or not, and it turned out that Alexander Graham Bell's first patent was unassailable, and they twisted the Western Union Company down to the ground, and it became Western Electric. Western Electric started to make telephones.
Okay, I asked the right person that question.
Wow.
Thank That's you, Tom. You get bonus points. Brian, radio pioneer Lee DeForest in 1926 said, "While theoretically and technically blank may be feasible, commercially and financially it is an impossibility."
Television?
Bingo.
Yes.
Ben.
What's up?
King Tut was buried with blank loincloths. How many loincloths was King Tutankhamun buried with?
Let's go with 7, one for each day of the week.
Dude, that's a great answer.
30.
So that makes me wonder why he was buried with 145 of them.
Because it takes that long to get to heaven.
Jesus. Okay, long trip.
You know what? It is the dead, too.
It was such a long trip. They buried his, didn't they bury servants with him and all that?
Yeah. Probably.
To help him in the afterlife on that 145-day trip to the other side.
Maybe Trump will be buried with his children. We can only hope. We can only hope.
Wow.
Alive. Tom, how long does it take for sunlight to reach Earth from the sun?
9 minutes.
I'm going to take that as a yes, as a correct answer. It says 8 here, but
yeah.
It could change because we have
apogee.
Yep. We have an eccentric orbit.
It's actually not exactly 8. It's longer than 8.
Okay, Brian, what percentage of the water on Earth is salt water?
What percentage of?
Is salt.
Salt versus the fresh water.
Hmm?
Oh, God.
It's a pertinent question, you know. And you're the water guy that keeps
70%? I don't know.
Higher.
90?
97% of the water on this planet is not drinkable. That's correct. And I'm assuming that's including what's trapped in glaciers.
3%. Wow. That means 97% can be desalinated. That's a lot of water to pull the salt out of.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot of
infinite salt.
It all we need.
That is the perfect optimist. Look at all the salt we got.
Can we use this as fuel? This is the perfect.
I mean, yeah.
Damn, you know, sodium. You could
sodium.
Okay. Ben, what do you call the scientific study of bees?
Bees?
Hmm.
No idea. Something ology.
It's
correct.
It's biology.
It's actually apiology or melitology.
Apiology.
It's got two words.
You well, I had two choices. I failed on both. I just knew it ended in ology.
Ology.
Tom, what is the largest desert in the world?
Well, I would like a large éclair the size of Paris. Oh, did you say dessert? I'm sorry. I mean, okay.
Not the sugary kind, the dry kind.
Well, there's a good one in Chile. There's the Outback in Australia.
Oh, we didn't say good. We're talking quantity over quality here. What's the biggest?
It's strangely not the Sahara.
That's exactly what's written here. Keep going.
So there's the Gobi. There's
wait, what order?
Let's see. I'm beginning to run out of dry open space. But I like the Outback. It's in Australia.
Is that your final answer?
It's Sahara. Yeah.
The answer is Antarctica.
Oh, that's a desert.
I don't think
it's
that
a desert.
Qualifies as desert? Desert.
Yeah, because the desert. Yeah. What makes something a desert? Is only the amount of precipitation it gets. And that place is dry as a bone. If it precipitated there, all the snow would just pile up down there and never be found anywhere else.
Got it. It doesn't fall
out
of the sky.
I think it was a trick question because you should have said, where is the least precipitation on it?
Yeah.
Well,
and I was thinking of, you know, this...
Tom,
areas.
You finally got one wrong. Just live with it, okay?
No, he can't.
The answer is always embedded in the question.
You go. Jesus.
Where did I get these? No, like some of these. True or false? Lasers work by focusing on sound waves.
What?
No.
What?
Okay. No, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Do diamonds last forever, Brian?
No. Nothing lasts forever.
Correct. They will eventually deteriorate into graphite.
Right.
It might take a billion years, but they will deteriorate. That's a dumb question. Too easy. Too easy. Ben,
yeah.
Will there be an impact on your height if you go into space?
Sure. I'll be taller.
Correct. Your spinal cord should actually stretch an inch or two.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yep, we got a couple minutes left. That's just how we're wiling this out. We gave everybody their little scary doomsday prep at the beginning, and then what to do about it in the middle, and now it's just...
Yeah, what to do about it. Just download Signal already.
And Telegram. Telegram does allow private, deletable, and self-destructive
messages. Are those end-to-end?
Not
the
by default. The private ones are when you activate.
Are end-to-end, and they self-destruct when somebody gets out of it.
Yeah, if you select that option, yes.
Yeah.
Hmm. Whose turn is it? Tom? At what temperature are Fahrenheit and Celsius the same number?
that's a good one.
To know this.
I feel like it's a negative number, and I'm not sure exactly where they meet. Negative... 0 being the temperature which water freezes in Celsius,
and minus 32 being the temperature which water freezes. You have to keep going down, but I've forgotten exactly what it is.
It's 40 degrees.
40.
Negative 40.
Negative 40. They're the same.
Right, negative, but it's 40. That's the only point where they intersect.
Okay. Wow. I didn't realize it was just like some little square number down. That's some even on the tens. That's amazing. It's not 41.1. No, it's at right at 40.
Brian, what is chalk made of?